God created me. I know Jesus loves me. But why should he? I mean, on average, people aren't all that nice sometimes. Ari. Now, time and time again, we make a mess of the world, and ultimately through selfishness, hatred, or greed. But God loves us. Now, we are reminded in Romans chapter 8, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. And another very popular verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You know, I find God's love for us just so profound. There's so many things that go along with being human, and it could stop anyone else, any person, from loving me, but God loves me. You're going to hear that phrase a lot today. God loves me, God loves you, God loves us. Yeah. So let me quickly tell you about my week. So this week, Cynthia, myself, Casper, and Barbara Jean finally moved into our new place up in Ballarat. That meant we had to juggle children and furniture 2 hours away. Now, in terms of emotions, we were very happy, we were very sad, we were very tired. And to the point where it was 1 a.m. one morning, and Cynthia and I were just in hysterics, both laughing and crying and a mix of everything, just needing sleep. And on reflection, later this week, when I was sitting down to prepare this, it got me thinking. Sometimes in my walk with God, I also get tired. But, you know, through God's love, through his spirit in me, I can rest, not sleep, but I can rest, I can be rejuvenated with his love. Sometimes when I sin, my relationship with God gets tired. If I go down the wrong track, I might not want to hear that Holy Spirit conscience in the back of my head saying, "Don't do that." But throughout it all, God loves me. God loves you. And in the middle of sin, nothing can separate us from this love. Right in the middle of that act, whatever it is, God loves us. Psalm 23 says, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it goes on to verse 5 to say, "My cup overflows." Now at risk of getting all kids' church on you, yes, I can use a measuring cup in the kitchen and it'll overflow. And even this world record measuring cup that holds approximately 720 liters, if you were pouring God's love into that, it would overflow. Similarly, I can grab a tape measure. In Psalm 108, it says, "For your unfailing love is higher than the heavens." And guess what? The tape measure's not long enough. Now, what about this? In Psalm 103, it says, "But the love of the Lord remains forever." Well, doesn't matter what clock, what stopwatch I have, no good for measuring how long God will love me for. Now, today, I also want to have a look at something Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, just how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." So in this passage, we've just come in on Paul praying for the Ephesians, and his absolute desire for them is that they grasp how much Jesus loves them. You know, we see Paul use the words about width, about length, height and depth. But even saying this, we can't really fully comprehend just how much God loves us. When I first came to Christ, before I didn't really know God's love, and even now I don't think I know it fully, but I know it a whole lot more, and it is amazing. There's nothing that we have ever done that can get in between this love that's so amazing. And here Paul just says, you know, he wants to know that God loves them, but he also says he wants them to know God's love. There's a difference there. He wants them to know God's love. So you can know something. I can know that water is made up of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. I could know that if you mush them together, you get a water molecule. I know if you get many hundreds of thousands of millions of these molecules, you can fill a cup of water. If I am thirsty, that helps me not at all. Now, similarly, we can read the Bible and know that God loves us, but it's not the same as feeling his love. And that's up to us to accept. In verse 19, Paul is praying that we would understand just how broad, how long, how high his love is. Even though he actually does acknowledge that we might not be capable of fully knowing it. So there are four dimensions to God's love that Paul prays we might understand. And the first is the width of God's love. Now, the width of God's love may be the most obvious thing that distinguishes his love from people's love. Because people's love might have a limit. You might do something, I might love you, but then certain events take place and I'll find loving you very hard, and I might then distance myself from that. Now, we might not love other people at all, but God loves them. I've got some people to show you that I'm absolutely amazed that God loves. God loves this man, everyone's favorite holy man, the Pope. He loves the person who broke the internet, Kim Kardashian. Yes, she is actually wearing a top there. I just realized this might not be appropriate. He loves our national leader, Tony Abbott, as much as you might not. He loves our favorite person to hate, Justin Bieber. And yes, he loves the guy who has performed multiple beheadings on tapes, Muhammad M. Razi, also known as Jihadi John. He loves these people, as hard as it is for us to love these people. It doesn't mean he loves what they're doing, but he loves the person. Now, the second point is about the length of God's love. And God's love is forever. It isn't just available on Sundays, coming to worship, coming to hear somebody talk at you for X amount of minutes. It isn't just available during business hours, Mondays to Friday, 9 to 5, except public holidays. It means that God's love doesn't give up. And I have to admit, mine does sometimes. Sometimes it's just hard. You know, when I offer people love, and they only have a certain amount of time to respond. And if they don't, forget it. God isn't like that, and his love is more enduring than the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps going and going and going. The third point is about the height of God's love. And Bible commentators have reflected that Paul uses the word height to describe God's love. Hi, Casper. Bible commentators have used it to describe God's love surpassing anything we have known. So God's love, when we try to figure it out, it's like we compare it to the love we've known from other people. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Yes, please. If you've ever been blessed with the love of others, especially if it's from your family or if it's from a child, it might be easy for you to say God's love is like that, but better. So why is it that people come to faith in Christ? Is it because of someone's brilliant arguments that have convinced them of the truth? I suppose sometimes it happens, but most often it's because we find out that God is crazy for us. And finally, there's the depth of God's love. And, you know, this word in the Bible is, the depth is used to describe like the depths of the sea or a miry pit. And, you know, it's also used in the parable of the seeds, where the seeds are thrown on the rocky ground, and, you know, the ones that land on the rocky ground spring up quickly and then die because the roots can't get any depth. It's like the scenery of a play. It might look real from the stage, but as soon as you go up there, the scenery is only an inch thick. But God's love is very deep. It goes beyond all of that. It's deeper than anything we can know. And it's real. Now, some of us might be more open than others. We might reveal more about us, or we might hide it all up. I think all of us might have something locked up inside. Doesn't have to be some big, huge, dark, dirty secret, even though some of us might have that. But this might be something we are hiding inside that we try to shut off. And that can be very deep as well. And today I also want to really express that if there is something deep inside of you, let God's love fill that area. Let him be with you in that, whatever it is, because God's love can touch that. So, today, did you know that God is crazy about you? Yeah. He wants you to know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for us. Now, I think my final point today is from Ephesians 5, and it says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." So we are made to live a life full of love, to really be filled with that amazing, wide, long, high, deep love, and not just bottle it up, but really share it. Be the example of Christ. So this morning, it doesn't matter where on the journey you are. It's important to know that God loves us. And there's nothing that I can say that can really illustrate how much, how deep, how high, how wide his love is for us. So wherever you are on the journey, if you want to respond to that love, you can stay in your seats and pray to God privately. You can come up to the front and receive prayer from one of the leaders of the church. We're going to enjoy a song on the screen, and then we'll share a prayer all together.